The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17b. Chapter 22. Several carnal shifts and objections that some bring to excuse them from the study of the scriptures removed. But you will say, if we had so much time to spare as others, we would not be so unacquainted with the scriptures. But alas, our hands are so full with our worldly callings that we hope God will excuse us, though we have not so much knowledge of His Word as others. Section 1. Is this the plea that thou meanest to use when thou comest to the bar and art called to give an answer to Christ, thy judge, upon this matter? Does not thy heart quake within thy breast to think how He will knit His brow and throw this thy apology with disdain and wrath upon thy face? Did so much anger sit on the countenance of meek Jesus when on earth, and such a dreadful doom proceed from His sweet lips against those that made their farms and oxen excuse for not coming to His supper, sentencing them never to taste thereof? Oh, what then will glorious Christ say when mounted on His tribunal, not to invite but to judge sinners, to such an excuse as this? Could God find heart and time to pin and send this love letter to thee, and thou find none to read and pursue it? The sick man no time to look on his physician's bill? The condemned malefactor to look on his prince's letter of grace, wherein a pardon is signed? A poor wretch, must the world have all thy time and swallow thee up alive, a curse not less than that of Korah? Art thou such a slave to thy pelf as to tie thy soul to thy purse strings, and to take no more time for the saving of it than this cruel master will afford thee? Thou and thy money perish with thee. His soul is in a bad state, which hath its allowance from so base a lust. This is so far from mending the matter that thou dost but cover one sin with another. Who gave thee leave thus to overlay thyself with the encumbrancy of the world? Is not God the Lord of thy time? It is not given by Him to be laid out for Him? He allows thee indeed a fair portion thereof for the lower employments of this life, but did He ever intend to turn Himself out of all? This is as if the mariners who are allowed by the merchants some small adventure for themselves should fill the ship and leave no storage for His goods. Will it suffice them to say there is no room left for His commodities? Or a servant, when his master asks why he neglected such a business committed to his care for a dispatch, should answer that he was drunk and therefore could not do it? Why did you not read my word and meditate thereon? Will Christ say at that day, darest thou then be so imprudent as to say, Lord, I was overcharged with the cares and drunk with the love of the world, and therefore I could not? Well, if this be the thief that robs thee of thy time, get out of his hands, lest it also rob thee of thy soul. The devil can desire no greater advantage against thee. He may better boast over thee than Pharaoh could over Israel. He is entangled. He is entangled in the wilderness of the world, and shall not escape my hands. If a friend should tell you that you kept so many servants as would beggar you, would you not listen to his counsel and rather turn them out of doors than keep them? And wilt thou not be as careful of thy soul? Wilt thou keep such a root of worldly occasions as will eat up all thoughts of God in heaven? Certainly thou must either discharge thyself of these or dismiss thy hope of salvation. This ordinarily is but a cover to men's sloth. If they had hearts, they would find time to converse with the Word in the greatest throng of their worldly occasions. These can find time to eat and sleep, to sport and recreate themselves, but no time for God and His Word. Would they but allow thy souls those spare ends of time to search the Scripture, which they spend in pastimes, idle visits, reading of empty pamphlets, it would not be long before they must give a happy account of their proficiency in their spiritual knowledge. What calling more encumbering than a soldier, and of all soldiers the generals, to whom I'll resort? Such a one was Joshua, yet he had a strict command, giving him to study the Scriptures. Joshua 1:8. This book shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Must Joshua, in the midst of drums and trumpets and distractions of war, find time to meditate on the law of God? And shall a few trivial occasions in thy private calling discharge thee from the same duty? Dost thou think that the closet is such an enemy to thy shop, and the time spent with God a thief to thy temporal estate? God, I am sure, intends his people better, as appears in the former place. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Section 2. But I cannot read. How, therefore, can I search the Scripture? It is sad, I confess, that parents who are God's trustees, to whom the nurture of their children is committed, should take no more care for their souls than the ostrich doth her eggs, not caring what becomes of them. What do these but throw them into the devil's mouth by sending them out into a sinful world without the knowledge of God and his word, to become a prey to every lust? To hell thou must needs go, if God shows no more pity to them than their parents have done. But shall thy parents' negligence be a plea for thy ignorance? Wilt not thou be merciful to thyself because they were cruel? If the fear of God be pursued to supply their defects by thy diligence, I hope thou dost not think it a shame to learn that, now that thou art old, which thou shouldest have been taught when thou wert young. Had not thy parents learned thee a trade to get thy temporal living, wouldst thou therefore have lived a beggar rather than have applied thyself, though late, to some calling? There are many for thy encouragement who have begun late, and by God's blessing on their diligence have conquered the difficulty of the work. If thou wert in prison, thou wouldst rather learn to read a verse than lose thy life for want thereof. Now the ability to read the word be not of absolute necessity for the salvation of thy soul, yet knowledge of its saving truths is, and there are few better private means to obtain this than reading. But if thou be not capable of this, thou hast not by it an excuse for thy ignorancy, so long as thou hast an ear to receive instruction from others. As God sometimes recompenses the defect of one sense with the quickness of another, so may be thou shalt find thy inability to read supplied by a retentive memory to hold what thou hearest read or preached unto thee. Some martyrs we find mighty in the Scriptures, able to defend the truth against learned doctors, and yet not book-learned. Oh, one could not read, yet carry always some part of the Scriptures about him, and when he met any Christian that could, he would get him to read some portion or other thereof unto him, whereby he obtains to such a matter of knowledge and faith measured as much him wiser than his enemies, and a stout champion for the truth, even to resist to blood. Section 3. Oh, but saith a third, thou I can read, yet I am so weak of understanding that I fear I shall make no work of such deep mysteries as are there contained. Take heed, this objection comes not from thy sluggish heart, which gets thee fair pretense to ease thee of a duty thou fearest will be troublesome unto thee. Didst thou ever make a trial and set about the work conscientiously, making all means that might conduce towards thy instruction in the mind of God? If not, lay not the blame of thy weak hand but wicked heart. When thou went first to be an apprentice, what skill hast thou in thy trade? Didst thou therefore despair and run away? No, but by thy diligence learn the mystery of it in a few years, so as to maintain thyself comfortably, and will not thy industry to learn that condemn thy sloth in not studying the word, which is able to bring in a better livelihood to thy soul than thy trade for thy body. But for soul, if what thou sayest indeed arises from the deep sense thou hast of thy own weaknesses, then ponder upon this twofold encouragement. First, God is able to interpret his own word unto thee Indeed, none can enter into the knowledge thereof without being beholden unto his spirit to unlock the door. If thou hast a riper head and higher parts than thou canst not pretend to, thou wouldest without this his help, but be like the blind Sodomites about Lot's house, groping, but not able to find the way into the true saving knowledge thereof. He that hath not the right key is as far from entering the house as he that hath none, yea, in some sense further off. For he hath none will call to him that is within, while the other, trusting to his false key, endeavors to get in, but to no purpose. The Pharisees, who were so conversant in the Scriptures, and obtained the name for the admired doctors of the chair, called, 1 Corinthians 2:8, the princes of the world, because so renowned and adored among the people, yet even these missed that truth that lay before them almost in every leaf of Moses and the prophets, whom, when they were in their everyday study tumbling over, I mean that grand truth concerning Christ, of whom both Moses and the prophets speak, and at the same time the people whom thou countest so base, yet accursed as those that understood not the law, could see him whom they missed. There are none so knowing that God cannot blind, none so blind and ignorant whose eyes his spirit cannot open. He who, by his incubation upon the waters by the creation, hatched that rude mass into a beautiful form we now see, and out of that dark chasm made the glorious heavens and garnished them with so many orient stars, can move upon the dark soul and enlighten it, though now it be as void of knowledge as the evening of the world's first day was of light. The schoolmaster sometimes sends home the child and bids his father to put him to another trade, because not able with all his art to make a scholar of him. But if the Spirit of God be the master, thou shalt learn, though a dunce. Psalms 119:130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. No sooner is the soul entered into the scriptural school than he becomes a proficient. Thence we are commanded to encourage those that discourage themselves. Isaiah 35:3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Why? What good news shall we tell them? The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Verse 5. An highway shall there be, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Verse 8. Secondly, the deeper sense thou hast of thy own weakness, the more fit thou art for the Spirit's teaching. A proud scholar and a humble master will never agree. Christ is humble and lowly, and so resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Though he cannot brook him that is proud, yet he can bear it with thee who art weak and dull, if humble and diligent, as we may see in the disciples, whom our Savior did not disdain to teach the same lesson over and over again, till at last they say, Lo, now speakest thou plainly. John chapter 16, verse 29. The eunuch was no such great scholar when in his chariot he was reading Isaiah's prophecy. Yet, because he did it with an honest heart, Philip is dispatched to instruct him. End of chapter 22.